The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
This episode of the Major Spoilers Podcast is brought to you in part by our Major Spoilers VIP members. Thank you for your support of Major Spoilers and the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. If you'd like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com and sign up today. Thank you in advance. Gotta shake it up each week.
Gotta shake it up.
Shake it up.
I actually like that song a lot.
Yeah,
I actually do too, like and the other one.
The whole album's actually pretty good.
That's what I, the other, what is the other
the
one?
The one where she's
popular?
Like, Blink. Players.
Yeah.
Where she's clearly crazy.
Yeah. The music video is really awesome if you haven't watched it.
For which one? Shake It Up?
Both of them.
Shake It
Up's
video. I finally watched that.
The other one is really good.
I do like her for some reason. I don't know why so many people hate her.
Yeah, I don't know either. I love her.
I think people hated her. For a while, she had this pretty princess thing going on.
Yeah.
And there was a whole, and I want to blame it on publicists who were putting her forth as this pretty princess. And she would write the songs about her terrible breakups.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just like, well, maybe after the 8th or 10th terrible breakup.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Well, and yeah, and yeah. This, especially Blank Space, is very much making fun of that public persona.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, it's a good song.
It's a pretty good pop album.
I thought about buying it, but they play almost the entire thing on Hits One all the time on XM.
Oh, do they?
So it's just like, yeah. I just turn on the radio and listen to it anytime I want. Anyway, here we go.
I listen to the local station. So yeah.
Anyway, comic books.
The Major Spoilers Podcast covers news, reviews, and of course, spoilers, and goes into details about the topics discussed. So if you haven't read, listened, or watched the items we talk about, you might want to come back later.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Steven, and you're listening to the Major Spoilers Podcast, the podcast for pop culture and apparently and music fans.
Taylor Swift fans. In this issue, we may be stuck in the frozen tundra, but your intrepid MSP is primed and ready for more pop culture goodness in 2015. We'll hear from faithful spoilerites on matters big and small, discuss the coming year in film, and talk more Ant-Man. He's like an ant, but he's a man. And that's why the song is called Alice's Restaurant. Settle back in your favorite chair, couch, or seat on the train and prepare to fill up your ears and your brain with all the awesome because the Major Spoilers Podcast is on the air.
Welcome to issue 606 of the Major Spoilers Podcast. Oh, whoa. Man, we are 60 episodes away.
Dude.
That's one of those things that go, it's like race car, back and forth.
We're going to have to reboot and go back to number one.
Oh, I thought we were at 606.
No, 606, same way. Yeah.
I'm saying
if you had a 609, you could flip it upside down.
Oh, yeah, that's even bigger.
And it would be the same way.
I can't wait till we get to 619 so that the joke I've been making for 400 episodes is finally appropriate.
But I want to see what happens when we get to 666.
We got to die. I think either
the blood sacrifice happens.
Here's what we'll do. We, on that episode, we will review an issue of Crossed.
No.
An issue of Lady Death. An issue of what's the guy's, the Son of Satan over there at Marvel.
The Son of Satan?
Yeah. And then Blue Devil.
Oh my God.
And
no.
That's what we will do for episode 666.
We could review Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man number 666.
Ooh, or we could do the one where the Justice League go to hell.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good one, though.
No, it wasn't.
Darn.
But there you go. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen, a little behind the scenes stuff.
We could just watch all of the South Park scenes where they go to hell and just comment on them.
Or we could just do the South Park movie.
Oh, yeah.
There you go, guessed by Satan. I still think we should do like Archie did in Reboot.
Oh, yeah.
Six,
start
six,
over.
6-5,
hey,
number
yeah, have
one.
This, have this, have this, the show hosted by Mark Waid. That'd be great.
There you go. And then, you know, go back to 667 the month after because we can't afford to pay Mark Waid.
But we could if more people would use that Amazon banner over at MajorSpoilers.com. Every time you click on that banner over at MajorSpoilers.com and you make a purchase, doesn't matter what it is, Legos, 3D printers, big screen TVs,
3D Legos.
Action figures, 3D Legos, yes. A little bit comes our way and allows us to keep the lights on week after week after week. We do take all of the money that comes in from your kind contributions, whether it be through Amazon or other places, and it feeds right back into Major Spoilers and the show and making sure that all of our creators get some compensation for the work that they do. I don't think it's enough, but that's what we can afford at this point, and we can afford even more with your help. So go over to MajorSpoilers.com, click on that Amazon banner, and shop away. Thank you in advance, and I can't say thank you enough for everything that you do to help us out.
You remember it was just you and me in your basement?
Well, with the addition of Zach this week, it's still you and me in our basement.
That's true.
I've always been here.
That's right. We retconned Zach in. Zach is technically a founder.
Well, there was the first 500 episodes. I was just looking in from the closet.
There he was. If you rewind, you'll hear Zach giggling in the background to some of our jokes.
That's what we need to do for episode 666 is represent number one with Zach segments added.
Oh, that might be interesting.
Edit Zach into the show.
Rodrigo will be back next week. I talked with him today. He was in O'Hare Airport trying to make his way back to the cold tundra of western Kansas. While all that was going on, IDW Publishing quietly announced that they had acquired Top Shelf Productions.
Hey.
Wow.
Why is that? Deal. Why it? You know, it is kind of a big deal. And I know today on the Twitter feed, a lot of people were going very excited. Some people disappointed. Some people just reacting in a lot of different ways to this acquisition. But to me, I guess it's a very good thing because Top Shelf has some quality products. And the fact that IDW wants to acquire them means that those products will continue. And they have the opportunity, Top Shelf does, because it's going to continue as their own Top Shelf productions. Mm. You know, they have the opportunity now to maybe expand and do some different things.
I think the worry is that Top Shelf has been known for doing really kind of out there, very artsy, very well put together stuff. And I think the worry is that if they are acquired by a larger publisher, even that, you know, being IDW, that somehow the quality is going to go down because they're owned by, you know, the larger entity now. It's not just Top Shelf, say, working with Alan Moore or putting something together, right. You know, so I don't know.
So what do they got here in their 2015 releases? They have coming up March Book 2. Mm-hmm. And they also have Martin Luther King and the Montgomery Story. Mm-hmm. They have Nemo, River of Ghosts. That's not Little Nemo. In fact, that's an old Nemo.
I think that's tied to League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
It might be. Yes, it is. An all-new League of Extraordinary Gentlemen adventure with Nemo. That's Alan Moore and Kevin O'Neill doing that. Mm-hmm. Night Takes Queen, You Don't Say, Monster on the Hill, Book 1, Motorcycle Samurai, which is a free comic book day edition, Dragon Puncher meets Johnny Boo. And if I'm not mistaken, I thought didn't they do Owly as well? Who does Owly?
I want to say yes. I believe Owly was.
From, oh yeah.
Andy Runton does Owly. Yes.
Yes.
Top Shelf did Owly because Owly and Johnny Boo were in their Top Shelf. It's one of Widget's favorite books.
Okay. So they've got
free comic book day edition.
Yeah, there it is. And they've got Owly all over the place over there, Top Shelf. So this means that Owly can continue if they decide that they want to continue to do that over to IDW Publishing. Any thoughts on this?
Monkey versus Robot?
No, I mean, when I saw it, it seemed like a big deal. I mean, IDW is not exactly the smallest publisher. They are.
No.
They usually come in, what, at like four. Four or five?
Yeah,
four or
sometimes,
five
sometimes
there.
Three. I think the interesting thing about IDW is they have moved from what I would have considered like 3 years ago, one of the smaller publishers like Boom and Archaea and those and Arcana and Oni Press. I would have considered them in that region. But a couple of years ago, they decided to make that step up and they're now a gold member with Diamond. Mm.
Cool.
And so they have really grown as far as a publisher goes. And they secured a crap ton of properties.
Yeah, they have a lot of properties.
Especially G.I. Joe, Transformers, TMNT. I mean, those three, and then Star Trek. Don't forget Star Trek.
Yeah,
those four properties right there are probably putting them in a position where they can help someone like Top Shelf and acquire them and acquire their properties in the long run. And I guess the other thing that I look at is when Arkea was purchased by Boom Studios, I want to say just a little over a year ago, yeah, 2 years ago. Again, Arkea is still putting out books. Yep. It's just through Boom Studios. Mm-hmm. And it's really great to see like Mouse Guard still stick around. Mm-hmm. So I think this is just a win-win all around.
Yeah, it seemed like a good thing. And they had the on the press release that we had on Major Spoilers. I don't remember who it was, but it was one of the reps from Top Shelf. They all seemed super excited about it. Yeah. They seemed really good. It was a good transition, and it'll be good for the company.
As far as we know, only one person is left in this, and that's because he wants to pursue a new blog where he's covering nature and natural foods, I think, is what he wants to do instead of staying with Top Shelf.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. But otherwise, you know, great. I applaud this. And I would rather see a company get bought out or acquired than have it go under.
Yeah. And you want, especially a creative company where they're putting out content that people enjoy and has this long shelf and people want to invest more time and money into, essentially. You don't want to see something like that go under and people lose out on their entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
And think about all of the, you know, the really good comic companies from when we were kids, Stephen, that were putting out fascinating stuff. That
like
just,
Eclipse,
like First Comics.
Who put
Comico
out? Comico. Yeah, Comico.
Yeah, just rolled off the end of the pier.
Well, actually,
know, things went wrong.
Comico is still around.
Sort of.
Yeah. I know they listen. I know they listen and they contact us quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, Valiant. Remember Valiant? They went away for a long time. Now look at them.
And then, you know, that's the thing with comics. Comics come and go. You'll see, you know, like the Atlas Seaboard heroes pop up every 5 or 10 years.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I go, yay, and I buy the first 3 issues and then I stop buying them. But every 5 or 10 years, they'll come back. So yeah, I actually think that this can be a really good thing because it means that Top Shelf continues to exist rather than the alternative.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. The alternative being Ant-Man movies.
That is that is the alternative.
Isn't that the alternative?
That is the alternative.
Top Shelf is not Ant-Man.
Oh, okay. But speaking of Ant-Man,
yes,
glad you brought that up. Glad you brought that up, Matthew. What's with this little tiny trailer saw last week?
Yeah, released, Thursday or last Friday?
Yeah.
Marvel put out the first teaser as a promo for the trailer, which could possibly be airing any moment right now.
At the time of this recording, we are recording at the same time Peggy Carter is airing.
Right.
So we will miss the full trailer. We'll have it up on the site very soon.
I'm sure it'll be up. It could even be on the internet right now.
It
could possibly. But they put out a trailer that put all of the action besides the title at the end and where you can watch it, the full trailer. It was very, very small. I know I blew it up.
Did you?
I downloaded it. I ripped it off YouTube and put it into my Premiere and started blowing it up. And I had to blow it up almost like 800% to get it anywhere close to watch it. And by the time that, it was just so pixelated. In the post, when we posted the trailer on the site, I took it off and made a GIF of it. And it was so, you still couldn't even see anything when you blew it up really high.
Yeah. Well, then was it Friday afternoon?
Yeah,
or
and then it
like
was
that.
A couple days, like a day later, they released a full human size version of the teaser. And you get to see, you know, Paul Rudd is Pym. No, he's not Pym, is it?
No, he's Scott Lang.
Yeah, Scott Lang.
Scott Lang.
You get to see him in the suit.
You get to see him in the suit.
Not the full suit, but I mean, you see his feet running. You see him being led down the hallway by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see, I believe, Hank Pym's lab, which kind of. And I mentioned this on the morning stream when I was on earlier this week. It kind of has a kind of a steampunky vibe to it, but still kind of Tony. It's like Tony Stark met steampunk is what that little laboratory area looks like.
Stark pink.
Yeah,
Stark
so it'll be. Punk, yeah. I'm really interested to see what the full trailer is tonight, more so than the Avengers trailer that's going to release in a couple of days.
Do you think they're going to continue with this little? Because, I mean, they released the official poster. We talked about the banner last week, but they released the official poster today that you can barely see Paul Rudd against a sea of white, and then EW ran it with a big magnifying glass so you could see. Mm-hmm. You think they're going to continue to do that?
I kind of hope
throughout the entire promotion, because that could be real old real fast.
I think it's kind of funny, and I think if they just stop. Maybe they'll do it for this first little batch of the first things we see.
Yeah.
And they'll just go to normal stuff. And then they should do something really weird right up to the movie or as the movie's starting. If they should make all the theaters run their trailers really small, which
would
really
be funny.
Or just like the Marvel thing. I saw someone online that said they should run the first part of the movie in IMAX, but they should, and the IMAX screens, they should put it at the normal size so it seems really small and then blow it up to the IMAX.
That would be really funny. Appropriate, I think, for that. And I would laugh at that.
I mean, just something really simple.
Yeah.
Would be funny.
I bet we're going to get character posters for everybody that's in that. In that
the really small thing?
So like, well, maybe not small, but I think we're going to see a Janet Van Dyne poster. We know we're going to see the Michael Douglas poster. We're going to see a Yellow Jacket poster at some point. So,
yeah,
I guess I'm getting more and more excited about this movie.
I am too. And I want to see a fighting sequence with Paul Rudd, because I just watched Anchorman 2. The other day, and the only thing I've ever seen Paul Rudd fight in is the Anchorman movies, and in those he's just wielding some ungodly weapon trying to destroy other news teams. And so I want to see what kind of fighting training he's been in for this movie.
And the cameos in that fight, by the way,
They're so ridiculous. That movie was so funny.
You know, I'm really sad that Edgar Wright left.
Yes.
The Ant-Man movie.
I think Edgar Wright and Paul Rudd would have been hilarious.
But that teaser trailer that we got, that one that he showed at the convention and then leaked online, where it's like Ant-Man growing and shrinking and doing all the stuff, running along the gun and still punching people. If that's what they end up doing this movie, I'll be very, very pleased.
Amazing.
But it wouldn't surprise me that new director come in and said, no, we're not doing any of that. We're doing
something different. Something different. But I mean, there is that thing. They're going to have to play with the size, some really interesting effect. You're going to have to incorporate it some crazy way into some fight. At least at one point, you're going to have to show him shrinking and growing in some, at least the first fight or the end fight.
And whatever direction, you know, Marvel Studios decides to go is fine by me. But apparently Fox is recutting X-Men Days of Future Past to reinclude all the Rogue stuff that they left out. And they're going to release the Rogue cut this summer. No, in theaters.
I was in theaters. I thought it was just because when they first announced the DVD, it was like, there's going to be another one coming, another full DVD of a different cut of the film.
Yeah, and
I was pissed about.
I heard it was going to be out in theaters this summer.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
But part of me still, one of the early rumors about Ant-Man were that we were going to see the Avengers movie told from Ant-Man's point of view. And like, you know, when Tony Stark is in the turbine trying to get it started up again, it's Ant-Man helping him do all that stuff. And so we're seeing it from that perspective. I kind of wish that
it's kind of like
that gimmick where people were complaining, well, Ant-Man was one of the first Avengers and he's not in the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
And then them responding with, oh, really?
That should just be their promotional stuff. If they can just do a whole promo of just throwing him in all the Avengers things.
Yeah, that
like
would
he's
be good.
The whole time.
Like you zoom in at the very end at the when they're eating
the shawarma.
You just zoom into the table and you just see him sitting there eating a crumb.
A and the great thing about that is that it's so hammy that Paul Rudd would just kill it with the humor if they did something weird like that.
Yeah. He doesn't look very happy in the trailer or the teaser that we've seen.
No, he doesn't.
So anyway,
look at it this way. They made us care about Rocket Raccoon and Star Lord. They still have street cred for me with Ant-Man.
I'm not complaining.
Talking about how awesome Groot and Rocket Raccoon are at this point.
Oh man. I went to Walmart the other day.
Yeah.
And they have these dancing baby Groots.
Oh yeah.
They are, first of all, the cheapest toy I've ever seen.
Oh.
And number two, the worst product I've ever seen because it's just basically this rubber tube with arms sticking out of it with a wire inside that dances around. And it's not even a very good likeness of Groot from, I posted on the Instagram.
Oh yeah.
I don't even think it's a very good likeness of baby Groot from the movie. So anyway, for what it's worth.
Come on.
I think people by now.
They released that scene.
Yeah.
Before the movie was really even out. It was only out like 2 weeks.
Yep. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Bunch of news can be found over at majorspoilers.com. And Tuesdays, oh man, you want to check the site out on Tuesdays because we release as many sneak peeks as we can of comics coming out on Wednesday. And it's a good chance for you to go in and check out and see what's coming out on Wednesday. Comic book day, it's like the best day of the week. Not only is it hump day, but it's new comic book day. You can check out all the previews on Tuesday, sometimes a little bit earlier, but a lot of times the site just gets filled up on Tuesday when I've got
pretty filled.
Most of the publishers, except for a couple, who send us stuff very regularly and share it on that day. Most of them have the embargo that we can't share it until the day before.
Right.
So that's why, if you're wondering, more
most of the awesome publishers.
Most of the awesome publishers. Most of the awesome publishers. Okay, let us get to some reviews.
Reviews.
Hey, speaking of that Rodrigo guy, take a listen to this comment from this fellow.
Hey, Radical Edwards. It's Rodrigo. I'm still out in my vacation in the land of Thurber. But I did get a chance to catch the season finale of Legend of Korra, which I thought was cool. I mean, so here's my thought. It was good. I liked it. I think the real meat of the series already happened. There's a lot of like double crosses and betrayals and stuff. And then these last, this last like double episode is basically just fighting and working it all out. They had been hinting throughout the whole series about a romance that might happen, and they continue strongly hinting it right on through and never really, you know, putting it on screen, which I guess is the choice you have to make, in order to have a kids show and not people and have people go crazy about it. And I don't want to spoil it too much, but when you see it, you'll see what I'm talking about. It was good. I'm pretty pleased with the way the season went. I think the last season was a little bit stronger, but this one went pretty well. Also, did you guys know that Avi Arad is still making cartoons? I was watching the Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures, and he's like the executive producer on that, which is crazy. Not a great show, by the way. But Pac-Man doesn't give you a lot to work with, so I guess there's that. Anyway, I hope you guys are having a good time. Rock and roll, and yeah, podcast. Okay, bye.
Thank you for that, Rodrigo. In regards to his comment about the ending of the series and how it ended, and again, without giving away any spoilers, the creators did go online and say that ending meant exactly what you thought it meant. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
What you thought it meant, or what it spelled out in the episode?
Basically what it spelled out in the episode. Okay. Yeah.
What the episode said that it meant.
Yes. Gotcha. You saw the...
No. Oh, okay. I was just clarifying.
Okay.
It meant that he totally was in love with Julianne Moore.
Yeah, pretty much like that. This week, also coming out this week, from Image Comics, The Fade Out number 4. This is Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips. This is coming from Image Comics, $350 cover price. This continues this very noir drama of 1950s Hollywood and this murder mystery of a Hollywood starlet and the grief and turmoil that our main character, Charlie, is going through. And he's trying to figure out what really happened. This story is wrapped up in the time period of the anti-communist hearings, who is outing who. There's a lot of references and allusions to true things that happened in Hollywood. In fact, in this episode, we find out that Charlie's good friends with Clark Gable and Humphrey Bogart and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's really kind of weird to see that play out. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we also find, I think this issue is the kick. This is the issue where Charlie puts one and one together and starts to find something that may be even more deeper and devious than what his troubled mind has come up with so far. And I don't know how many issues this is. I really need to look each time. I keep forgetting because I just want this series to go on and on and on. This series is definitely going to have an ender. And the kick that we have here of who this mysterious man is, I think is going to turn into something horrific by the end of the, I mean, if we know anything about noir, if we know anything like Sunset Boulevard, we know Charlie is destined to be floating face down in a pool of some Hollywood home by the end of the series. Maybe.
And do you know how much vomit it takes to fill an entire pool?
Ed Brubaker's writing, again, continues to be wonderful. I love when he takes on this noir, gritty crime drama stuff. And Sean Phillips' art, just fantastic, spectacular, wonderful. On every single page, this is a book you want to check out. I am giving The Fade Out number 4. I'm giving this one 4.5 slices of meatloaf, and I'm dinging it just a little bit because if this is only a 6-issue series and the kicker just arrives in 4, then this is something that should have happened last issue, to be honest. So I'm dinging it for what feels like being stretched out a little bit. But otherwise, go pick it up. It's from Image Comics, out this week, the Fade Out number 4. Oh, Matthew, what are you reviewing? I don't see a title. All I see is cover by Francesco Francovia, and I know that that's not the title.
No, that is, in fact, what it's called. It's called Cover by Francesco Francovia, the graphic novel. Actually, no. This weekend, or actually before this weekend, you know, how the year began.
Yeah.
And every year at New Year's, I sit down and I watch the Twilight Zone marathon.
Oh, yeah. Twilight Zone number 11.
On the Sci-Fi channel. And I was watching it this year. And I had a couple of observations, but it made me want to read more Twilight Zone. So I picked up Dynamite Comics Twilight Zone number 11 by J. Michael Straczynski.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's Ju Villanova. Really, 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 really good art.
Okay.
Really good art in this book. And as we've mentioned before, you and I talked, I think, about the Twilight Zone on Dueling Reviews. And I think I've brought it up once or twice
a year. Yeah, we've reviewed a couple of them.
Dynamite is working 4-issue arcs.
Right.
Which means that basically it kind of breaks down like Rod's teleplay, where you have act 1, 2, 3, 4, but they're separate issues.
Yeah.
And oh my God, that's frustrating. This issue, I believe, is like the third part of a 4-part story. Yeah. And what we run into is we find our main character, who is a private eye named Ben. He is at a point where he was hired to find out about the death of a young man 10 years ago. And somehow he ended up traveling back in time to the year 2004 and witnessing the death. And he keeps going back in time so that he can see what's going on. And every time he's trying to figure out what can he do, he has come to the point where he realizes that he can only save this boy's life if he finds someone else who's present at this anti-war rally to take his place and die.
Ah.
So Ben spends this issue ruminating about who's going to die.
So basically the end of the issue is, Ben, the two of us need look no more. We found the person who will be dead on the floor.
Right, and then the mouse chews his throat out, and Arlie Ermey is there. Because that I've only seen the remake.
Doesn't matter. The first one was horrific, too, and still the fact that Michael Jackson did the song for it is crazy.
Well, it's a thing. But there are two things going on in this issue. Now, if you've ever seen a Twilight Zone, the best Twilight Zones are really deep and sometimes really wordy, because Rod was a very wordy writer. The best Twilight Zones, like Five Characters in Search of an Exit, are kind of a vision into the mind, the human condition. They tell you something about the characters. The worst Twilight Zones, like, say, I'm just going to throw one in, The Fear, come across as two Rod Serlings sniping at each other. Now, the thing about it is Rod Serling actually did his scripts directly into a dictaphone. So his dialogue is literally Rod Serling talking. J. Michael Straczynski is equally wordy. He is not, in my opinion, equally deep into the human condition. So this issue gets wordy and it gets cyclical and it gets to a point where, you know, clearly we're dealing with a time travel story. We want to make sure that it feels like there's time travel involved. And by that, I mean the second half of the book takes forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we get to the end of the book and something strange is happening, because by the end of the book, Ben isn't the only one traveling back in time. And there's a long point where he seems to be talking to God out loud and, you know, giving a Rod Serling kind of monologue, only it's not entirely a Rod Serling type of monologue. So I've noted this before. The pacing on these is really frustrating for me, because I want my Twilight Zone. I want a story. I don't care if they're an hour long. I don't care if they're a half hour long, but I want a story. And these issues are, to me, a quarter of a story. So they're better to read in chunks.
Mm, trade it.
You know? Yeah, trade it. Get 4 issues, or, you know, even save up a few. Buy each month and then sit back and read them, which I've been known to do as well.
I'm curious. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Straczynski did write for the Twilight Zone. They were the new Twilight Zone. Yes. Does that affect your opinion of him writing Twilight Zone episodes in comic form?
Yes. In that It's not that he doesn't have the pedigree for it. I'm certainly not saying that. I mean, Straczynski has been writing really good stuff for probably, what, 35, 40 years now? And there are good episodes of the 85 series. There are good Straczynski episodes of the 85 series. But the thing about it is the 85 series, just like the 59 and just like the one that Forrest Whitaker did a couple of years ago, the worst episodes kind of disappear up their own butt. And we have not gotten to this point. We are not at the point where this story has, you know, disappeared into its own navel for, you know, a more politically correct or less offensive term. But it is kind of wobbly for me. As far as the art goes, really gorgeous. There's some points where I don't understand entirely everything that's going on, which, you know, knocks it down a little bit for me, too. And when you're doing Serling dialogue and the Serling, you know, the monologue doesn't feel right for me, I have to take a step back on that, too, because I love Rod. I wish I could write like Rod. You know, I would like to write like Rod Serling, but instead I write like a dork. J. Michael Straczynski writes like less of a dork, but this issue still doesn't really come together for me. I'm going to give it 2.5 slices of meatloaf. Not a bad book, better than average for sure. But I feel like I would probably enjoy it better if I had the whole 4-issue arc in front of me. They did an annual or a special not so long ago.
Yeah.
Read that whole book. That was great. I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of the grade here is because of the format, because of the monthly comic book format that I love and have loved for decades, just doesn't work for me in a Twilight Zone.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. That's too bad.
Did Straczynski write the one with Sherman Hemsley?
No. I don't think so.
With Sherman Hemsley fighting the devil who was played by Shepard.
Well, there's two all-time favorite new Twilight Zone episodes. One of them definitely is the Sherman Hemsley one.
Yeah.
The other one is the one where the woman finds this necklace that she can stop time. And she goes, peace and quiet. Yeah, and then she goes outside, and there's like a nuclear bomb about to hit, and she can't undo it, and she can't save her family or anything like that.
You know who directed that?
Who did that?
Wes Craven.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Craven directed the first 5 or 6 episodes of the secondary Twilight Zone.
I'm just looking at Straczynski's wiki page, and it just says he freelanced for Twilight Zone, writing an episode entitled "What Are Friends For?" And also for Shelley Duvall's Nightmare Classic adapting The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That's all that it says on his wiki page. So,
What Are Friends For is the one with Boy Meets World. It's Fred Savage.
Really?
Yeah, Fred Savage has an imaginary friend, and the imaginary friend is the guy who looks like Frodo. Oh, God, what's his name? He was
Rob?
No, Rob doesn't look like Frodo. Oh, God. Now my brain is getting – he was in Witness. He was the little boy in Witness.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And then he was – I want to say
Lucas,
he was
Lucas in, Haas.
Thank you. He was in Mars Attacks too. Yes. He looks like Frodo to me.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that – What Are Friends For? Fred Savage's imaginary friend is Frodo's lookalike. It's a good one.
All right.
That's a season 2 episode from 1986.
All right, Zach, what do you have for us this week?
I am reviewing a movie.
A movie? Okay, I want to know what this movie is.
This is very good. It's titled Force Majeure.
Okay, this sounds Swedish. Like a Swedish
movie. It is Swedish.
Is this on iTunes
title,
right now?
Yes, it is. Just came out on iTunes. It's out in theaters right now. It's been playing in the festival circuit most of 2014. It played at Cannes, where it won one of the awards. Except for was it Golden Globe Best Foreign Picture from Sweden?
Oh, okay.
And it's been up for a couple different things, but it's out officially in theaters now. You can watch it up in iTunes for rent for a mere $6.99, and I highly recommend it.
Okay.
As we've transversed this area of film from Zach on Film, I have found the more I watch foreign films, I really like their sensibilities in filmmaking.
Yeah.
And this one hit a lot of them for me, especially in the composition and framing, and especially in editing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll watch a film that really influenced me and how much I love kind of the foreign idea of editing, but this one really did it. This movie is about this family from Sweden that goes on a skiing trip up in France, and they're supposed to be this picture-perfect family,
right.
But then a thing happens.
Okay.
Which is they're sitting on the ski resort lodge. They're having lunch the second day of skiing, and they're watching. They're sitting out there, and they see these cannons start popping off for controlled avalanches. They've been going off throughout the film.
Oh, man.
And they're watching one come down the slope, and the husband says, no, 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 we're fine. It's a controlled. It's fine. And it's all one shot, one take. It's done on green screen.
Sure.
But, yeah, you can watch the avalanche start rolling down the mountain, and it's building. It starts building pretty big. And
yeah.
Everyone starts kind of getting a little unwary.
And they're not the only family. I mean, they're not the only people.
No, there's more people on there, and they're all watching it. And it's growing, and it's growing, and you finally get the sense of this thing's going to come hit the lodge.
Yeah.
And so everyone starts freaking out, running away. Mom grabs the two kids. Dad grabs his mittens and his cell phone and bolts.
Oh, no.
And runs.
And leaving the wife and kids there. Okay.
Oh, no.
So you watch the avalanche come down. Everyone freaks out. He runs. She grabs the kids. They're all yelling. You see that all this white snow just comes, fills the entire screen. Still all one shot.
Yeah.
Starts to subside. You realize it's just... it all went past. It was controlled, but it kind of just billowed.
Freaked everybody out.
Yeah, it just freaked everyone out. Yeah. So nothing went wrong. And then the husband comes
well,
walking.
Nothing went wrong.
Okay. The husband came out going, see?
Yeah.
I told you nothing was wrong.
He walks back to the table, and they all, like the two kids and the wife, are looking at him kind of like, what did you just do?
Oh,
and he just kind of acts like the rest, like it's fine. And so that spirals. The rest of the movie is them trying to grapple with his abandonment of the family.
Interesting.
In this situation.
Oh, wow.
And him denying it, that it even happened. He said, you have your idea of what happened. I have mine. And they get in multiple fights. One time at a dinner setting with people they had just met, then with friends there, and thankfully he had actually been filming the whole thing. So then they watched the video.
Oh, interesting.
And actually see him run away. And so, the whole film is about this family dynamic that completely shifts from a father who they say at the beginning of the film, the reason they were coming there was to get away from work and spend time with their kids. And then they have to grapple with, well, he left us in this time of need.
Hey.
And so there's
in the airplane, they tell you put the oxygen mask on yourself first.
Interestingly enough, one of his friends meets him up there and gives this exact explanation.
Yeah.
When the wife starts going off on him and saying, he left us. Why would he do this? The guy's on his side. Like, this is what he was trying to give him out, saying he was leaving so you could come back and dig them people out. It's like, you have to save yourself before you can save the other people. It actually gives the explanation of the airline thing. It's this really weird, kind of dark movie. I think the director's known for his kind of satirical.
Yeah.
I think it's underplayed, the humor. Like Vivaldi's, one of his summer overtures is the only music that plays
interesting
throughout the whole film. And it's set in the winter. They're skiing. It's snowing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice
contrast.
Yeah, there's just interesting things like that. So the whole dynamic of the story is interesting. And then the last 20 minutes where everything that kind of gets put back in place kind of really just gets freaking flipped. And it's this weird moment where all the arguments kind of crumble and flip-flop on themselves, and it's a beautiful, beautiful ending. But I love the directing of this film, where you just kind of have to sit in these takes and just watch them unfold. A 3 or 4 minute take with it out, going to a different angle, and just letting these people act out and just having to sit in these almost awkward conversations. Beautiful framing. I read about it, and the director actually shoots almost as high as resolution as you can, and then in post will mess with the framing.
Oh, interesting.
Which is really interesting when you watch the film, because multiple times throughout the film, someone will be talking, and you will only see maybe their shoulders down.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not seeing their face actually talking, but you just have to watch everyone else.
Yeah.
Either just
subtitled
ignore
or?
It is subtitled.
Okay.
Mostly in Swedish, but there are English parts, speaking parts in the film.
Yeah.
Easy to read subtitles. I mean, it's fine.
Right. It's interesting. I don't remember. I don't remember where I saw it, but someone was commenting that if you watch movies from Scandinavian region, if you watch Sweden, Norway, Finland, movies tend to be kind of dark topic stuff. Mm-hmm. And Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is, if you watch the Swedish version, not the American version.
I've watched
version.
The first one.
Have you watched all three of them?
No, I've just watched the first one.
And very dark.
Yeah.
The other one that you might want to check out is called Troll Hunter. That's out. That's a Norwegian film. That's a Norwegian found footage film, but very dark, very disturbing at times. So we're checking out.
I will.
For Zach on Film, checking out foreign movies is definitely something you'll get a kick out of. You know, I think I've said before that I spent like a year just watching Chinese and Korean movies.
Yeah.
Mostly historicals, but historicals with kung fu fighting stuff. Sure. But it's just fascinating to see that. And then taking a step back like 600 feet and looking at them and saying, oh, I see what they're doing here in how they're portraying their history from the point of view that they want you to look at their history from, and knowing that this is being sent out to their own people, you can see that they're setting up a certain dynasty as the fall guy for their history. And I think from the Scandinavian films, you do that same thing. You're like, you sit back and you're like, well, these are dark and disturbing because who knows? I mean, there's a number of different reasons, but maybe because it's so dark up there all the time.
It's possible. I remember reading about this film a while ago because the director got his inspiration for the film by watching YouTube videos of people reacting to,
to avalanches
and certain things like that. And then reading about where the husband breaks down and starts crying like crazy. He showed him one of like the ugliest crying scenes on YouTube he can find. And then the ending is actually referenced to another YouTube video of a horrible driver.
It sounds interesting.
It is really good. It's totally worth your time checking out. I read somewhere that the DVD might be releasing in February, which when it does, I will buy it again so I can watch it right away.
Did this come with iTunes extras or not?
No, it was just a straight up rental for $6.99.
Oh, you rented it.
I rented it. Yeah.
Because it's out in theaters right now.
Yeah. You can only rent it right
now. That's the same way with that General Tso's Chicken. Yep. It's only a rental right now too. So.
Yep. Really good movie. Yeah. Everyone should totally watch it. It's really good stuff. I'm going to give it 4.5 slices of meatloaf.
Excellent. Very cool. Well, there you go. Matthew, see, if you go onto your Google Plus or your YouTube premiums or your Amazon Primes or your iTunes, sometimes you can get movies that are in theaters and you don't have to venture down to the movie theater. Of course, there's no way that this movie would ever play at our rated theater. We can't even get Inherent Vice at our movie theater.
No, we can't get anything.
We can't even get Selma at our movie theater.
But you'll get that new Bat movie.
Oh, well, don't worry. Horrible Bosses 2 is still playing here.
Jesus.
Transformers 9.
Listeners, head over to MajorSpoilers.com for more fascinating reviews from fascinating people. You can check them out. And us as well, yes.
Hooray.
Let us do the Major Spoilers Poll of the Week.
Poll of the Week. Poll of the Week.
I don't know if we talked about this last week. We talked about the box office was kind of down in 2014. 5% from 2013. 5%. 2013 had some big-ass movies that came out.
And 5%. 5%, 5% of 11 gazillion dollars.
Well, 5% represents $700 million in the U.S. box office.
Yeah.
Which is not quite a billion, but it's still... You know,
it's a considerable amount.
It's still basically 2.5 Guardians of the Galaxies,
which is the highest grossing movie of the year
in the domestic United States. Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was reading this that along with the drop in United States box offices, Broadway had one of its biggest years.
Yeah, which
in a
was
while,
also surprising.
And
yes.
Digital sales.
There was a report, I think, what is on Variety Today or something like that, where they talked about how they had their biggest, I guess we'll call it VOD.
Yeah.
Digital delivery was the biggest that they'd ever have. And that is not taking into account the $15 million that they made through the interview sales,
which is out to $31 million. They just released the numbers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. You go back to last week's Major Spoilers podcast where I did a review of the interview. 2015, though, as we're looking ahead, there are some really big movies coming up in 2015, and I'm predicting that we're going to see a 15% increase in the box office over this year, which means that we're going to be up higher than we were in 2013. I think 2015 is going to be a huge year for Hollywood and the studios, even though people point out, and part of the reason why I say that is we got an Avengers movie coming up. We got when is Ant-Man coming up? We've got Star Wars coming
up.
People are still saying, but Steven, most of the Star Wars money is going to be made up in 2016. I'm going to bet more than half the money is made up in that first week of release in the United States. I mean, you've got Christmas. What isn't the Is it the 20th? Is that
20th
when the
release?
20th through the 31st. There's 11 days to make a crap ton of money, and they'll make a crap ton of money.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to, I bet within the first 2 weeks of that Star Wars release, they have about $200 million made, if not more. Yeah. Maybe $400 million in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, because you're hitting holiday, which did Hobbit did pretty well. I mean, did okay.
So, yeah.
But it's not Star Wars.
No.
And it's that was the third installment of a story.
Right.
So the first Star Wars will be huge.
Yeah. And then, of course, we have Avengers Age of Ultron that's coming up.
Which we'll have all year.
Basically. I mean, it's going to have 6 months to screw around with. It comes out in what, May?
May.
So it's going to have 6 months to make money.
Fourth or fifth or something. Second.
But the question this week is, Matthew.
Yes.
Which movie are you most looking forward to seeing? And I'm only giving people two choices. Avengers Age of Ultron or Star Wars The Force Awakens.
And you know why that is.
Why?
It's your freaking website.
No. It's so that we can pick other movies throughout the year that people are looking forward to. Like next week
so
might
we can
be
ask
Ant-Man.
The same movie question. Oh,
duh.
Sure. Beautiful. You're the man.
More behind the scenes. That's I'm going to change the title of this episode to
More
Why Do Our Lives Suck? To a lot of BTS. A
BTS.
Lot of BS about the BTS. There you go.
Heavy.
And I'm
on
also
going
to have to put an explicit tag in there because I did a little curse earlier. So
did
sorry.
We?
You. Oh, darn
some
it.
People get. Well,
that's okay.
Well, and you know, people do, and that's a thing.
Yep.
People do.
So, Matthew, Avengers Age of Ultron, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. I'm not saying which one are you going to go to the theater and see. I'm saying which movie are you most looking forward to seeing?
These I'll probably actually see both in the theater. Because I have, at that time, I'll have an 11-year-old. But when you ask me, what is a formative event in your life? And I say, well, when I was 11 years old, Zachary, I wanted a Millennium Falcon for Christmas, and I didn't get one. And it made me very sad. And ever since then, George Lucas can bite me. I'm a comic nerd. I've been a comic nerd. And I'm looking forward to Age of Ultron for two reasons. One, I'm hoping that it actually brings War Machine and the Falcon into the Avengers fold.
Ooh, yeah.
But wouldn't that be nice? But more importantly, having finally seen X-Men First Class,
ooh,
getting
yeah.
ready to
yeah,
watch Days of Future Past.
You haven't watched Days of Future Past, or you did?
I haven't yet.
Oh, okay. Watch it. It's worth it.
We're going to purchase and watch it probably this weekend because First Class was kind of a hit around the house. I want to see what happens with the Scarlet Witch Quicksilver thing because I'm the meta guy. So I said Age of Ultron because Avengers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Zach. Star Wars The Force Awakens is kind of going to be a whole new thing for me. So, you know.
Zach, what about you?
I am more looking forward to Star Wars.
How come?
Well, Star Wars is something of my childhood. I remember going to watch The Phantom Menace in theaters and being very disappointed because my parents did not allow me to paint my face like Darth Maul.
What?
Still a little bitter about it. But I do remember watching all
you
those.
You were using house paint and a Sharpie.
Well, you know, I did that. So there's a lot of nostalgia there, being a Star Wars. So I'm really looking forward to Star Wars. As for Avengers, I think for me, when I go watch Avengers, I will come out probably liking the movie more than going in. Right now, I'm feeling maybe just a little bit burnt out on Marvel movies, and that just probably happens every year until you go and watch the latest Marvel movie, and you're like, oh, well, they do this really, really well.
Yeah. They
do this well. Really, Avengers was a movie that was interesting just to see if they could pull off putting that many heroes into a movie for me. Was it one of the movies that I really haven't even really gone back and visited and spent much time thinking about. But I think the way they're building this movie and what Joss Whedon will do will be interesting. So I understand why everyone's excited for it, but for me, much more excited for Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I went with Star Wars is the one that I'm most interested in seeing, not because I'm tired of the Avengers, because I kind of know what to expect when I go into a Marvel movie these days.
Yeah,
I know what kind of characters we're going to be looking at. I kind of know what's going to be expected. I know that it's all kind of tied in. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like Avengers is the safe movie, right? That that it's still going to be really, really good, but I don't think, well, maybe except for the death of one of the characters, I don't think that people are going to be shocked out of this. I don't think they're going to be as surprised as they were when they went to see Guardians of the Galaxy and said, hey, this looks real. This is actually really good. I think people are going to come out and say, that was an awesome movie. But I think they're also going to go in thinking this was an awesome movie.
And, you know, with Marvel putting out its 10-year plan like they're graduating high school, we know what's all coming. I mean,
Doctor Strange.
If you're aware of anything of what any of the Marvel stories that they're pushing that are coming the next 5 years, then you know kind of the script. They kind of need to hit points and where they need to go to.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of laid out.
Yeah. So to me, Avengers, while probably going to be awesome, is very safe.
Yeah.
Star Wars, on the other hand, has a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, for people my age and older and younger,
there, be honest,
from everyone from my son's age up to my parents' age and beyond, Star Wars is this thing that has always been around, or it seems like it's always been around. Whatever you think of the first three movies, some people really liked episodes 1, 2, and 3. Some people really like 4, 5, and 6. Some people really hated 1, 2, and 3. And so now with George Lucas completely removed from Star Wars, now there's somebody else coming in to do something, to tell a story in this universe that from the movie side has always been George Lucas' stamp of approval. This movie is risky.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is different. This movie has to outperform everything that came before it.
Yeah.
If it's going to succeed. And because there's that risk involved, because there's that unknown entity, that's why I'm really excited about seeing Star Wars The Force Awakens. Of all of them. I don't know what it is. I think it's just that unknown entity that is making this more daring and more fun, even though it could be a very dark story. Who knows?
Yeah. It's interesting to think about that if Avengers comes out and is so-so, slightly above average, people will live with it.
Yeah.
But Star Wars has so much writing
on it. And if it comes out as just being average or so-so,
it's not good enough.
People are going to tear up the theaters.
Not going to be happy with it. And it's like, this would be like if Avengers came out before everything else and was like, everything is resting on its shoulders. I mean, we already have movies in line for the Star Wars. So it really has to kind of hit big.
Yeah. Michael says, I'm excited to see both movies, but I have much greater interest in seeing Avengers Age of Ultron. Ingrid says, I'm looking forward to Age of Ultron. I've gotten awfully disillusioned by Star Wars movies and can't help but be cautious about a new movie in that series. Dr. Dinosaur says, well, Age of Ultron is almost certainly going to be a better movie, at least for me. George W. says, nothing of any importance. No, just kidding. Got to have some of those old throwbacks in there. Once upon a time, the answer would have been a resounding Star Wars. Unfortunately, I've been hurt by Star Wars too many times for that to be the case any longer. I'm still interested in the movie, but I can't build up any real excitement for it. And you can read a lot of the comments over at MajorSpoilers.com. I hope you head over to MajorSpoilers.com and cast your vote in the Major Spoilers Poll of the Week and share your comments in the comment section. That's what makes this community grow. That's what makes you more connected with people like George W. and Cat Halo and Alicia and the Great NATO, our number one fan. Go check it out. The comment section is where you want to go. That's where you can get to know people and interact with people. And it's all good over at MajorSpoilers.com. But as of this recording, Matthew, how does the Major Spoilers Nation vote?
As you and I knew they would. They are exactly 50.
I know,
50.
Isn't that freaking? Awesome. That's really weird.
107 votes in the bag, which means that somebody voted half.
Yep.
But 50-50, which means that for every person who said Avengers, somebody said Star Wars. And as they say in Chicago, vote early, vote often. Get in there and break this tie, people.
And usually,
it offends me. Ties are a problem.
Well, what's really odd is that usually by the time we hit 100, 120 votes, you pretty much know which way the wind is blowing.
Mm-hmm.
It would be funny if we ended up with 500 votes by next week and it's still 50-50.
Yeah.
50-50, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. The only way we can make that happen or not.
Can we make that happen?
I suppose I could if I really wanted to. I don't think I can.
I don't know that you can.
I don't think I can either. The system doesn't allow me to do that. But what would be interesting is seeing that many votes and seeing, can you break that tie or will it continue to be a tie going forward? I mean,
yeah,
we're
so
looking at a
the kids, phone
we're
the
looking at a
this tie.
Margin of error of what, 1%?
Well, actually, our margins of error are roughly 50%.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, we're either right or wrong.
Oh, no, no, no. So there you go. Major spoilers poll of the week. Hey, I don't know if I've said thank you in this episode or not, but I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again. Well, you can never, you know, I asked this question the other day. Maybe it was on Finally Friday, the live show that we do every Friday, 3:30 p.m. Central. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. It's your chance to call in and interact and have your voice be heard about a lot of different things. It's really a lot of fun. It's real interesting. Zach's been on there a couple of times. Yes, you have.
I have.
You kind of said it like, I have?
No, yeah. I set up, but my microphone doesn't automatically adjust with me. So if I go up,
it just sounded like you were uncertain about it. You know, we've had some good guests on and some great comments from people like you. But I think I said in an episode not too long ago that I don't think people say thank you enough.
That's true.
You know, I go through the drive-through and instead of give me, I say, may I please have or I would like. And then when I get my change, I say thank you. And then when they hand me my soda, thank you. And then when they hand me the whatever I'm getting, thank you. Have a nice day and drive off. I don't think people do that enough. No. So if I say thank you, I really mean it. It's not just me being, you know, casually polite. I really
That's
mean it
true.
When I
he
say thank
you. He is never casually polite.
No.
Never casually polite.
Never.
Usually, my casually polite is usually, yeah, whatever. But I do
want
to thank
your beating now or do you want your beating later?
I do want to thank everyone who has supported Major Spoilers in some way, shape, or form, whether it's using that Amazon link or using the major code when you check out from tweakedaudio.com for 30% off. Tweakedaudio.com is where you want to go. Great earbuds. I love them a lot. 30% off when you use the checkout code major. Or if you're one of the people who are making this show possible right now, our Major Spoilers VIPs, thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, honestly, I'm looking at, and I realize that there are some Patreon people out there, some podcaster Patreon people.
Oh, yes.
Who have, you know, like 2,000 subscribers. Or maybe they have less
sure.
than that.
Yeah.
And those people are paying per episode. We're sitting at over 700 VIP members as of this recording right now, which is really good.
That's amazing.
If you think about it, we're basically halfway to what some of those other Patreon people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would really appreciate it if you're listening to this podcast right now and you get some kind of enjoyment out of something that we do at Major Spoilers. Maybe it's something that you read on the Major Spoilers website. Maybe it's one of the multitudes of podcasts that we have put out. And if you think this episode is even worth like 25 cents, I'm going to ask you to help us out in 2015 and become a Major Spoilers VIP. What is a VIP, you ask?
Yes, Stephen, what is a VIP?
Well, a VIP is a very important person. People who are very important to Major Spoilers and people who are making sure that the future of Major Spoilers continues and ensures that we can continue to make more enjoyable podcasts, more enjoyable videos on our Major Spoilers video channel on YouTube. These are the people that make it happen, and I want more people to become VIPs. All you need to do if you want to help us out in some way, shape, or form is point your browser at members.majorspoilers.com. You can sign up for a $2, a $5, or $10 a month recurring donation. $2 a month. It's not a whole lot. That's like 50 cents an episode if you're just listening to the Major Spoilers podcast. If you count in the 10 podcasts that we do each week or 7 podcasts that we do each week times 4, that's 28. 28, that's like less than what? How much is that? 4 cents an episode or something like that?
Something.
8 cents an episode?
3.62 cents an episode.
If you think it's worth that
Help
much.
Help us learn and, math.
and prevent shows like these from going behind a paywall, we can do it with your support, with Major Spoilers VIP's support. And I know some of you can't afford it. That's fine. I understand that. And I know some people just have been sitting on the fence waiting to pull the trigger. I would love it. Here's the thing. I know last week I kind of made a joke at Matthew, Matthew's expense, I should say.
You're mean.
Yes, I am. But it's only because I love you, Matthew. If I can get 100% of the people who listen to the Major Spoilers podcast, 100% of you to sign up for a $2 a month recurring donation, I can not only hire Zach, but I would also be able to hire Rodrigo.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be big.
That would be big. And then who knows? Maybe in the future.
I hate you. You are the devil.
No, I would be able to hire. I would be able to hire at least two people. At least two people. If we could get 100% of the people. I'm saying least.
That's the same thing.
I didn't say who. I said least.
You didn't.
At least. It means I could hire more. No. Aww. No, we could hire multiple people at MajorSpoilers.com. Working full time, which means, could you see Matthew every day working at Major Spoilers, writing reviews, working on Hero Histories, writing news articles, sharing his thoughts and opinions?
Hero History like twice a month.
Yeah, that could happen.
I could get to guys like Todd Holton, Green Beret.
Yeah. We have reached, we've reached at least one of our goals. When we hit 500 people, that's when the Finally Friday show launched. When we hit 1,500 subscribers, we get, for people who are Critical Hit fans, they're going to be able to get a month's worth of episodes early.
That's amazing.
That is pretty cool. I mean, we're far enough ahead that I feel comfortable saying that we hit 1,500 subscribers. We will be able to release a month's worth of Critical Hit shows ahead of time. And those people who have VIP access will be able to listen to those shows ahead of everyone else. And know what's going on ahead of everyone else. Also, when you sign up at members.majorspoilers.com, you get access to behind-the-scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a fan of Zach on Film and you want to know what's coming up next, I think there's something interesting going on right now with the Zach on Film 2.0.
Yeah.
You're going to really want to check that out. We're giving you a rare behind-the-scenes look of that over at members.majorspoilers.com. I know I didn't want to make this a big, long commercial. But I did want to say thank you to everyone who is already a VIP member. And I'm hoping that we can have more of you join in 2015.
Bumper sticker.
I would get a... Yes.
Major Spoilers loves my VIP penis.
All right. I tell you what.
You're going to hell.
We hit that 60% mark. Doesn't matter if you're a bronze, silver, or gold member, you will get that bumper sticker.
You will get
for
that
free.
Bumper sticker.
When we hit that mark.
Make sure this happens.
When we hit that mark. Not before, but when we hit that mark of 60%.
I will handwrite them for the printer.
I can do it. And you will, guess what, Zach? If that happens,
I'd put
guess,
it on my car.
Guess who's
first
going to
car.
Be guess whose first job will be stuffing envelopes?
I would and you've no idea how much I would laugh. That Matthew would be doing that whole thing.
Yes. Yes, he would. Oh, Matthew, we love you. So, yes, if you would, please help us out. Honestly, we can really use your help. Members.majorspoilers.com. Your contribution helps us make more for you. And now that we've run out of time, that's it for this week. No. David from Texas writes in and says, love Critical Hit in the cast, so I figured I'd enjoy the Major Spoilers podcast, and I do. I read comics as a young child in the 90s, most notably Spider-Man and X-Men. Your podcast has gotten me reinvigorated in the medium. Got Comixology, read a few free books, and purchased Age of Apocalypse because I enjoy the antagonist. I've been struggling to connect with characters in it, make any sense of it at all. Well, that's not hard. It's Age of Apocalypse. I know all of you are tired of being asked for jumping on points, but I really need a book suggestion that is capable of really drawing me back into the medium. Comics are a huge source of nostalgia for me, but I'm tired of reading issues that don't go anywhere. Any suggestions would be really appreciated. David. Well, David, I'm going to make a suggestion. Saga, if you haven't read Saga.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make another suggestion for you. Fade Out. The one that I just reviewed earlier in the show.
Yeah. Jeez.
Depending on how you feel about violence, The Wicked and the Divine.
I would also say Lumberjanes is really good from Boom Studios. Lumberjanes.
That's a good one if you're down on the violence and you're looking for something fun.
If you like, I kind of would say Lumberjanes is the equivalent of Gravity Falls meets, Powerpuff Girls?
The Facts of Life.
Meets Facts of Life. It's really good. It's a really good series. I really enjoy that. It's probably... It ranks up there as one of my favorite series of 2014.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really good. There's Batman, always Batman.
It's good Batman
stuff.
Yeah,
there is. There's good Batman stuff.
And certainly if you get on with the Scott Snyder stuff, you'll have like 38 issues to read.
Yeah.
That's all really good stuff. Yeah.
Manhattan Projects is really good. Manhattan Projects really enjoy. Really good.
Chew?
Yeah, Chew. Chew's got a volume of work you could work your way through.
Chew your way through?
Oh. No. You know what? Morning Glories is an amazing comic.
It is.
That you should totally read.
It's coming to an end soon, but Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah.
Hawkeye is, and I think it's all traded now. It's very
pretty
good
close.
Book. Yeah.
Very good book.
If you want something really adult, you could read the first volume of Sex Criminals.
Yeah. If you're Chilean and speak Spanish, you can read El Capitan Jupiter, which is pretty good.
Anything else? Anything else you guys might recommend? I mean, I we're not trying to throw you into the deep end on some of this. Some of the stuff, like I said,
yeah.
the
some
Scott
of the
Snyder,
stuff that I would say are good books, I would not be able to recommend to somebody to get back into comics.
No, but yeah. Certainly like Scott Snyder's Batman, there's a definite place that you can jump in with issue number one and read 38 issues and not feel like you are lost.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say jump into issue 38, but I think if you read from issue one, but you know, you're not going back 60 years to read issue one. You're going back 3 years to read issue number one.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's all available
Amazing
on Comixology for 99 cents.
Rebooted with a number one.
Yeah, but there's something coming up this week.
Oh, I was going to say Spider-Man, but I haven't read it recently, but I don't know how much it's still interplaying with the whole Doc Ock thing.
Supposedly.
If it is, then you have to jump back a couple years.
You have to go back to issue what?
One you almost have to start when we started writing.
You can pick it up with Amazing number one.
Could you?
Yeah.
Oh, when Peter comes back.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, Lumberjanes has been around for less than a year.
Yeah.
It's about 12 issues there. The Fade Out, if you like the noir stuff, that's four mm-hmm. issues in. Although Ed Brubaker's stuff, if you like crime drama stuff, his stuff is really good. Chew's, 43 issues or something like that? It ends at issue 60?
It ends at 60.
So that's a closed system. The Wicked and Divine's only got like 6 or 7 issues out.
Mm-hmm. If you want superhero stuff, you could read Invincible. It's in the hundreds, but that's some good reads.
And if you, I know you're saying you had Comixology, but if you're looking at big bound trades, buy the Invincible Omnibus Edition.
Yeah, I have
the
those.
Volume 1 Omnibus Edition is awesome. It is probably, I know it gets, I mean, if you've listened to Dueling Reviews and those kinds of things where Matthew and I talk about Invincible quite a bit, you know that some of the more recent stories to me are not super great, but that first Omnibus Edition is awesome.
It's really good.
Yeah. Marticus Finch says, I was driving down the road last night listening to another podcast that I enjoy called Mission Log, a Roddenberry Star Trek podcast. And they had a discussion that made me think. They discussed how in Star Trek, the original series, an episode with a message would be accompanied by a sweaty Kirk ferociously emoting about whatever was happening, pointing directly at it and saying, see, there's a message here. Now in the next generation, which they're watching now, when the moral message is there, they expect the audience to just get it. So after the long wind-up intro, why is that? Is the same thing happened in comics, it seemed. The super wordy stuff from the 60s have given away to books with practically no text at all by comparison. Did we as readers become more savvy? Did writers just get smarter? Is it another indication of how the audience of comics has simply shifted away from kids? If you gave a good look from 2014 to a reader in 19... or if you gave a good book from 2014 to a reader in 1930 or 60 or even 80, would they be amazed or just confused? Any food for thought? Well, first of all, if you gave a comic book from today to someone in the 1930s or the 50s, we wouldn't have comic books today because good old Wortham would wave that around and say, see what the future holds. We must protect the children. We must save the clock tower.
Save the clock. No, wait.
And they'd be wondering why they have to pay 800% of their normal comics.
Or maybe more than that, 1,000%.
Insane.
Yeah.
The basic question, the first question,
the Star Trek stuff
is, in 1966, it was not normal to expect a weekly television show to have cultural influence, to have anything to say about current events or about the state of human condition. I mean, yes, the Twilight Zone was there, but even if you look at the Twilight Zone, it's all couched in metaphor. It's all couched in science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek, the original series, brought it out into the forefront. And we sit in 2014, we mock Bella and Lokai. And we're like, look at how obvious the metaphor of the half black, half white people is. But the fact remains, that metaphor was the first time or among the first times people had actually addressed the underlying problem of people judging you by your skin color.
True.
That's one of the first times it came up. And I think that when you start something like that, it is a lot more over. It has to be a lot more.
I think,
over,
well, yeah,
because people weren't expecting it.
Well, go look at Dr. Seuss and the Starbelly Sneetches. I mean, that book hits you over the head with, hey, we're all the same, even though we may be a little different kind of stuff.
Right.
But you know what? To say that Star Trek The Next Generation doesn't hit you over the head with messages, it seems like, you know, that last bit before you hit the credits, where a lot of times with Riker coming in to talk to Picard and they would have a discussion about this, you know, it wasn't the screaming back and forth, but it was a, what is your observation? And whoever that conversation was between, they were making an observation about the events that happened. So I would say audiences are a little bit smarter and more savvy.
But the expectation that the medium is using those messages is there. So people go in looking for it. In 1976, if I picked up an issue of Batman, if I picked up an issue of Spider-Man, and I picked up Howard the Duck, Howard the Duck had overt political messages in it to the point where Howard ran for president, got to the point where he could have won and went, it's probably not worth it anyway, and quit. Just basically gave up because of the state of the world. That's really, really obvious. In the comics. I mean, there's an issue of Spider-Man that I remember right after the election in 2008.
Is that the one where Barack Obama, they had to go save Barack Obama?
It's around that same time. Wolverine and Spider-Man are on a rooftop and they're talking about Norman Osborn, who's just taken over S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hmm.
And Spidey's like, how are we going to get rid of him? And Wolverine is like, don't worry. It took us 8 years to get rid of the last dictator. And they fist bump.
Right.
On panel. And I'm like, oh.
Well, and then, you know, the Captain America issue that got everybody all in hot water over the Tea Party.
They took actual Tea Party signs and put them in the crazy hands of the white supremacist whack
job. Yes.
Which, that
so
may have been a thing.
There is a lot of hitting you over the head with a message kind of stuff.
But it's. I would say,
and I bet this is comes up in this week's Zach on Film. The movie that we're going to watch is Don John.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I bet that there's going to be a discussion over, is there an overt message that's trying to hit you over the head?
Yeah.
Boing, boing. And I think to some degree, in 1966, when you do something like that, you do it straightforward because otherwise people will accuse you of being a communist and trying to sneak messages in. Whereas, you know, in 2014, if you have subtle, you know, unseen revelations, or if you have those things that are even unexpected things that people take away from it, you know, where all of the Arab American people everywhere are the villain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those things come away and people read into that. People go looking for that subtext.
Well, I mean, you don't even have to look for it. I mean, it's there. You're right. There is a lot of there's a lot of stuff that hits you over the head just as hard as it did in 1960, yet you don't have to have someone screaming at the top of their lungs. Mm-hmm. It's just very obvious.
Yeah.
Well, and it also depends on the nature of the beast, to what is it we're talking about? I mean, a same-sex relationship as late as what? When was Xena? 1994, 95?
Something like that.
Xena and Gabrielle very clearly at a certain point were written as a romantic couple. But for several seasons, they were putting this deep subtext, tons of subtext into there in, you know, nearly the 21st century, because they couldn't just come out and say these two women are in love with each other.
Yeah.
And when they did, a lot of people got irritated with the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. I don't know if that helps you out there.
Well, if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, there you
but go. Ask us another question.
Okay, here's another one we'll close out the show with, kind of in a kind of a high note. And it kind of ties back into our VIP discussion a few moments ago. Hi, Stephen and crew. I've been on a strained grad budget for years and still am, but got a bronze VIP membership after stumbling on some spare change. I listen regularly to Critical Hit and Top 5 with some scattered listening to other podcasts. And what finally broke me was the bucket list episode of Top 5, specifically Matthew's last item, which was to lose weight. This is the reason why he's writing in, and maybe the reason why he became a VIP member. I started off in May of 2013 at about Matthew's size, based on the descriptions I've heard over time. And today I am 6'3" and 200 pounds, which is 100 pounds down from my highest weight, which I was at for most of my 20s and early 30s. Major spoilers was the soundtrack to my weight loss. There you go. That's our new subheading.
The soundtrack to
the soundtrack
to your life.
What if the opposite happens when you work
I threw on podcasts and run hundreds and hundreds of miles at the gym. You guys really helped me save my health. My wife is 7 months pregnant with our first daughter, and I hope she never knows daddy was a big dude. I'm going to bet that you have pictures, but that's okay. That's okay.
Pictures do disappear.
Anyway, thank you.
Photoshop is an awesome.
Thank you, says Jim. The membership was too long in coming, but I'm glad to be able to give you the money now. If you could forward this to Matthew, that would be great. It's too long to Twitter. I just want to know that if I can do it, he can do it too. Can't really recommend listening to the Major Spoilers podcast to him, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. If you've actually listened to me talk to these guys, it's clear that I'm not listening to the Major Spoilers podcast.
Yeah. So there you go. You know, I'm really excited. I'm happy, Jim.
I am too.
You know, that's my thing that I was doing before I got really sick at the end of last year was that I would hop on either the treadmill or the exercise bike for an hour every afternoon, and I would read, or I would listen to podcasts, or I would catch up on a Zach on Film movie or a TV show that I was watching, because I can my exercise bike has a little place where you just set your iPad on.
Oh, that's nice.
And I can just plug that in and ride away and watch that stuff and read that stuff, and it was going really great until I got sick. But now that we're into the new year, I'm going to jump on that bike again. Almost did it today, but I wanted to get a video edited for our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers video.
Go subscribe.
And yeah, go subscribe. Go sign up, please. Doesn't cost you anything. But yeah, I can't wait to get back on there and do that again in 2015. So if Jim can do it, listener, you can too. All it takes is the first step, right? Isn't that what they say? Any journey begins with the first step.
The journey of 1,000 steps begins with getting your butt off the couch.
Yeah, well, a journey to weight loss is the same way. So there you go. Major Spoilers, the soundtrack to your weight loss. And that wraps it up for this issue. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being part of the Major Spoilers experience. I don't know what we're doing next week. I'm trying to work on an interview for next week. But if not, we will see what would happen. We'll ask the question, what if?
What
if? Why do we ask that question? Because we know that you love comics, and we do too. Major Spoilers, soundtrack to your weight loss.
If I had the X-ray vision of a Superman, I could save a few bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the stand. But although every other page would be backwards, I suppose, I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic book store guy knew, they kicked my butt out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Think about a better way. If I was hulking green or gray, I could just bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little meat would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you ever tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would I back and board my comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. If I'm Stark Raven rich like a man of iron, might not be surprised if I'm that I might actually have the heart cold to follow an entire storyline. But would I really even need to read up on all those escapades? I mean, who needs such distractions when your sister's such a babe? But the downside is such a beast. Being shot up in a fun bee in the Middle East with a King Santo and soldier. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. Whoa, 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 whoa. What a major spoiler.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.